Hello! And welcome to episode one of the Real Gambling Review, a podcast by some people who've been there, done it, bet it, lost it, and won a little bit occasionally as well. I'm Robin Gibson.
I'm Sean Gulligley.
And we're both from Modern Media Review, and this is a kind of sub-thread, because as well as modern media, we like modern...
gambling.
Betting, yeah. Modern gambling, of course. None of your half crowns or anything like that. So we're going to talk about the world of gambling until the fun stops, as the advert says in big letters.
I have a little bit of a problem about reviewing gambling, Robin, because quite often it involves reviewing losses, which is never a boost.
We don't want to dwell on the losses. Everything is talking, and all the talk and the podcasting and the broadcasting about betting, it's all very earnest, and there's always this sort of caveat that you're about to ruin your life and lose your house and your shirt and your car. And it's true, isn't it, that that's what bookies actually want you to do, seriously.
Well, yeah.
They do want you to get into financial difficulty, and if you do, they kind of ignore it. On the other hand, you know, there's a lot of fun to be had from betting semi-seriously.
Well, absolutely, and I'm fed up with this Sally Army tambourine bashing stuff, where they say that betting is bad, and oh, it's the road to ruin, gin palaces, all the rest of it. My only thing about it is, if you're losing money, get better at betting.
That's what it should say in the adverts, isn't it?
Not when the fun stops.
I don't think they could get away with saying bet more if you're losing, which is effectively what you're saying. Well, we should point out at the start that no one's saying we're professional in any walk of life, but certainly not as gamblers. But we should point out that from time to time we have won a bit. Certainly, you know, since spread betting was abolished. Well, it hasn't been abolished as such. I've just abolished it myself.
Well, I think I would vote for it to be legally abolished before they take the house away.
If there's one thing that should be banned, I mean, there's that great quote from the fantastic Sport and Life and Racing Post writer David Ashforth, very blunt quote in one of his books. I used to have a house, then they invented spread betting.
And the problem with spread betting is, I don't know about you, but my biggest wins never equaled my biggest losses.
No, as the Racing Post guru Paul Keeley once wrote, golden rule of spread betting. If you fancy a buy, sell, and if you fancy a sell, buy. And if you'd followed that all the way through, you'd have made a fortune, wouldn't you? Anyway, to get on with the review, although it's not all a review, it's just a name for the podcast.
Okay.
Wasn't it? We're not necessarily reviewing stuff.
No,
but we were talking about the Circle in our last podcast,
which we loved.
One thing that interested me, and we talked about it a bit in the podcast, was that you could bet on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
This year, and I'm combining some weird betting movements before the final with a lot of insinuations, possibly even accusations, that the whole thing wasn't really very live. Either it isn't very live, or someone was leaking, or both.
Well, I tipped Ella to win it. And you tipped Sammy stroke James, yeah? And I was quite happy with Ella until about the night before she got blocked. She was, what, 7-2? 9-2? Something like that?
Yeah, she was in among the sort of second, the group of people who were sort of round about 4-1, 5-1. And then suddenly, the day before the final, which was the night she got blocked, she suddenly went out to 18-20-1.
Which, immediately, you smell a sort of rat, don't you?
Oh, sort of, right? I mean, what's going on? Actually, I put a tweet up about it saying what's happened to Ella has one of her legs dropped off. And someone who seemed to know a bit about TV got in touch with me, and it was a bit illuminating, really, because he went, oh, I've mentioned this. Every time someone's going to get blocked, they suddenly go out to 100-1. I thought, yeah, well, you've identified something there without maybe identifying the reason.
Because we'd been so into the Circle, and you had the Circle of Trust, which was basically three people who'd stitched it up. And this is one point about betting, where you can get very paranoid about how strong the market is for or against you. And we knew the winner was going to come out of three people in the Circle of Trust, and yet none of them were in the first two in the betting.
So you get on the final day, right, and you go, what the hell's going on? Because these people are going to carve up the other two, and the other two, Woody and Tim, are even money favourites. Well, what happened? Woody came last.
Yeah.
And Tim came third. And all we did, all I did wrong, was pick the wrong one of the Circle of Trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he sort of won it by default, didn't he, Paddy? Because Sammy Stroke James was the assassin of Tim and Woody. The assassin never gets the laurels, so we should have realised that. But we were totally right, but the market put us off is the point in terms of betting. And it's always difficult psychologically to put more money on the bigger... Well, it's like that thing when
it shouldn't have been difficult on the Circle, because we weren't going to get much money on anyone. It's a novelty bet, isn't it? It's not like we're going to get a grand on Paddy or Georgina, was it? Let's move on to some betting that I know absolutely fuck all about. Okay. But I'm aware that it's a big betting thing, Strictly Come Dancing, because I know you watch that, Sean.
I do.
I've never seen it in my life.
Well, I think the gentleman protests too much, because anyone that says they've never seen Strictly, that's not plausible.
I never watch anything on Saturday night telly. It's all rubbish.
You're too busy going to Nicki Minaj concerts, is it? Well, the point is, I do like Strictly because one of my favourite films is Strictly Ballroom. You know, what? I'm fond of a Paso Doble, Robin.
I've never seen that either. Dancing's not a thing for me.
Didn't you break your leg pogoing?
Yeah, that's about the limit of it. Stopped after that.
So that was the end of your dancing career?
Yeah. But I've had a look at the betting on Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah, and, I'm looking at it now.
I struggled very much with the idea that any of these people are celebrities, although I did work out that Alex Scott was the English women's football player.
Yep.
After I racked my head.
Okay, well, we've already had a bit of controversy in Strictly.
Uh-huh.
And one of the judges, they knocked out Dev Griffin, who, in fairness, I thought was a decent dancer, but the judges voted him off, and there was a lot of controversy about it. And obviously, in terms of betting, you'd be a bit gutted if you were on Dev. And one of the judges, what's her name, Shirley?
I don't bloody know.
Shirley Ballas.
Right, okay.
Apparently, which seems pretty much the norm on social media, you just don't abuse people anymore. You have to death threat them.
Oh, basically. Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing that all the time. I'm always death threatening my local MP.
Yeah.
Well, my local MP's Mary Black. I wouldn't death threat her.
Well, I do anything that upsets
me. Come round and fucking kick my head in.
You know, if there's any children's TV and Peppa Pig does something wrong, I'm immediately on Twitter death threatening Peppa Pig.
Death threat the animators as well, though.
You should do, yeah, the whole lot of them. And the bastards. Producer. You've got to death threat the producer. And the commissioning editor as well needs a death threat on the back of that. The point was, she said, oh, it was such a traumatic week for me. And she goes onto Instagram, and there's a picture of her on Instagram lying prone with a very sad face emoji. And she's got a drip, a saline drip, saying, I've been so stressed out by my death threats that I've had to be on a drip all week. And I thought, well, you should be on a drip for that, because if I bet Dev and you'd knocked him out, I'm definitely death threatening you. Try losing a bit of money, never mind just knocking somebody out of a show.
Anyway, never mind all. I heard that David James was in it as well. I've heard of him.
Oh my God. Now, you'd imagine that a professional sportsman would have some sort of coordination. Wouldn't you say that's a prerequisite to being a sportsman, yeah? He looked like somebody in a diving suit, you know, with one of those big metal helmets and lead boots.
That's what he looked like when he was a goalkeeper.
That's what he looked like in goal. And he looked like he was dancing underwater. He was absolutely appalling, which makes you feel a bit sorry for the professional dancer that draws one of these numpties. James Cracknell, also OBE, who got eliminated in week two.
Who's he?
Yeah, he was also useless.
Who is he?
He was Olympic gold medal rower. And in fairness, he's had a pretty bad time of it, because he was the guy that got run over by a lorry on some sort of charity thing.
Doesn't help with your dancing career, does it?
Doesn't dance with that, no. And it's wrong.
I think we should have more charity shows where people get run over by lorries. I'd donate.
Just to see it happen. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. Anyway, fuck all that. What about the betting?
Okay, so the betting is, we've got a very strong...
Kelvin Fletcher.
Yeah, he's out of Emmerdale.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very light on his toes, and he looks like a worthy favourite at this stage. But if you follow the Strictly betting over a few series, as I've done, it's very difficult for the favourite to last the whole show and win it. It's like a horse that's leading, and you think, you know, you come to the final furlong, and you're in the lead, and you think, okay, pretty much home and hosed here. And then all of...
That's to do with judging the pace.
Well, exactly. And they all come over the top at the finish. Now, I think this is going to happen to Kelvin. Now, the problem is that there's an older woman in it called Michelle Visage.
Yeah, I like her name. I was going to back her on the name basis, because it's a great name.
Well, Robin, you sound like people that go to the races and say, oh, I like the colour, or I like the name, I'm going to back that.
Do I criticise them? I'm just doing it the other way round.
But you've done no homework, so how can you expect to win?
Well, they win.
Well, they do. Nice names do win. But she's very good, but she's an older lady, and it's very difficult.
What do you mean, older lady? That's pejorative, mate.
Well...
How old is she?
How is that pejorative? If I said older man, is that pejorative?
Well, yeah, it's ageist, isn't it?
Okay, so she's... all right, then, I'll make it sound worse. She's a woman of a certain age.
I've just looked her up. She doesn't even look a certain age. She's 51. 51's okay. A new 30. She's a singer. Now, you see... Singer, television, all these people, Well, you notice these people that can sing a bit, even though they're actors, they all get taught all of it. When you go to these schools, you get taught singing, dancing, acting, the whole shebang, don't you?
I agree with you. I think that there's a terrible advantage for these jazz hand kids that went to stage school and all the rest of it. And they've done tap dancing since they were 6 months old.
She's a great bit. 33 to 1, mate. Why is she 33 to 1?
Because she's older.
How do you win this? Do the viewers vote for it?
The viewers vote for the people to be ejected or, you know, knocked out. It's a very broad church, the Strictly viewership.
How do you know that?
The demographic is quite wide. So
demographic of people who stay in on a Saturday night, isn't it? Older people.
But also a lot of young kids who aren't going to vote for someone that's older.
Yeah, well, she doesn't even look that old. But I've noticed she's only 33 to 1 with Betfred, and I don't like betting with them because I don't like Fred Doan. I think he's a bit of a twat.
Okay, so
she's only sort of 20s and 25s with the other bookies.
Well, yeah, lump on at 20s because she's got more of a chance of winning.
Excellent strategy.
However, I also think there's a nice little bet in there.
Can I just ask, why did you mention her?
Because she's a very good dancer.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, and the other one I think is a nice price who could go a long way if you can get on each way is Saffron Barker.
Another good name.
Yeah, which I do like, who I think is an online influencer, which is a new one on me.
She's a YouTuber. YouTube.
Well, it says that she's a social media star on the BBC website.
She's risen to fame through her popular videos.
Okay, and this is why she's overpriced, is her partner is AJ Pritchard.
Not Jake.
Not Jake.
Well, the next question in Google is, did Saffron and Jake break up?
Well, that's obviously her boyfriend, but the point is she's with a very young and popular professional dancer, AJ Pritchard, who's also, if you want a bit of insight...
Oh, I see, that's a dancing partner.
Yeah, if you want a bit of informed betting, Robin, he's a very good choreographer.
Okay, I definitely need some information here. I'm just going on the names, really.
But the early exits weren't a surprise apart from Dev. I mean, as I was saying about David James, you know, David James out.
It's a shame.
Well, it is a shame, but he hasn't died, Robin. He's only been voted off a celebrity dancing show, do you know what I mean?
No, but he's a nice fella.
He was a nice fella. But yeah, Saffron is currently 14 to 1, and that's a decent each-way bet.
Okay.
And I think Kelvin's going to struggle to head the market all the way to the final. So I'd throw a bit of Michelle Visage in as well, just for a bit of interest.
Yes, what a great name. It can't be a real name.
Well, it probably isn't a real name, I guess, no. But it's a showbiz name. It's almost like a bit like See the Stars. I mean, what a great name for a horse. And it basically wins all the top races. Yeah, so that's, you know, in terms of Strictly, that's what I'd be betting on.
That's good. Should we move on from Strictly then?
What about Scottish football?
Well, yeah, I was going to say something about that because I've been seeing a lot of it being in Scotland recently and being a St Mirren season ticket holder. And I have noticed one thing this season, which is that some of the teams that people who don't pay much attention to Scottish football think are major sides.
Hibs, Hearts.
Are really quite poor. In fact, awful. Hibs particularly, because their manager, what's his bloody name? Their manager.
I like the way that you're informed about this, Robin. Yeah, I like informed betting
information. I know what it is. I was just trying to get it right. Their manager, Paul Heckingbottom, right?
Yeah, okay.
Has done what Alan Stubbs did when he had about 4 weeks in charge at St Mirren last season. And he signed a whole load of dodgy players from the lower leagues in England, like Forest Green and Rotherham and Yeovil. I mean, you know, these guys think the Scottish League is a sort of, they call it a pub league, don't they? But it's ridiculous. And these guys come up here and think they're going to cruise through it and they're totally found out.
Well, the problem is you've dangled a carrot here to me and it's not because of your superbly informed information. It's as soon as you said oppose, because that's catnip for me when you say oppose something rather than support it. Well, I just like the idea of opposing things rather than supporting them. It says something about me. I'm quite contrary, I think.
But in general, yeah, this table isn't as ski-whiff as it looks. Basically, you know, these teams might end up still at the bottom for quite some time.
Well, this is something that people quite often frame their betting around what they expect I mean, it sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? That they expect is going to happen. And what happens is it takes them a long time to actually realise what they expected isn't happening.
Yeah, that's a problem with betting, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, especially... no, I expected this to happen. It's like if you're betting on golf or something, you've got 4 days to keep expecting it to happen, but it never does.
You've obviously, like me, spent a lot of time in bookie shops. When you see the fellas scrunching up the losing ticket and throwing it away, effing and blinding about the jockey, the horse, interference in running, not a clear run. They never actually say, do you know what, I just picked the wrong horse.
My own poor judgment. You never hear that in a betting shop very often, do you?
Very rarely. Oh, I got that one wrong.
Why? I often say that.
Well, I have no problem with it, because obviously I have got it wrong.
Well, the only other thing about Scottish football this week, apart from seeming like I'm going to give some advice and then not, is tread warily with the lower leagues in Scotland, because they really are dire.
Oh, yeah, no way.
You don't really know what these guys are, part-timers. Once you get halfway down the championship and below, you know, they're not proper football teams at all. They might all have been out at the dancing on a Friday night and... dropped a few E's or something like that and not really be up for it the next day, you know. Our bros were live on TV a few weeks ago, and there was a good half-time feature on one of their best players who's a bin man. He works full-time as a bin man and then goes to training afterwards. And the truth is, like, a team like that, people go, oh, our bros have started well and all that. But they're just going to tire out as the season goes on. You can't be a full-time bin man, refuse collector, and in a semi-professional football team and expect to keep winning all the time.
So what you're saying, Robin, is we're now opposing our broth for the rest of the season, yeah?
That's going to be difficult to make any money out of that.
Yeah, though, you know.
I'm not a big fan of football betting in general because it's far too unpredictable. Frankly, for something that's meant to be a two-horse race or three-horse race, it really isn't, is it?
No.
It's a nightmare of complications and unpredictable events over 90 minutes.
Well, I don't know about you, Robin, but I've given up betting on 90-minute football. The only interest I have now is in anti-post tournament betting.
So who have you backed for this season?
Well, I was looking at the Champions League and Euro 2020, and again, because I like to oppose rather than support, I'm looking to oppose teams like Barcelona, Liverpool, Man City and teams like that. And I like, this is a sort of contingency bet, so I don't know whether you'd be able to get a double on. I like Ajax and the Netherlands for a Champions League Euro 2020 double.
That can't be a contingency. They couldn't be so mean as to make that a contingency bet, could they?
Well, they're all Dutch, so therefore if they win the Champions League, there's more chance of them winning Euro 2020, no?
I suppose so.
But yeah, I like them.
Okay, that's good.
Well, we'll see.
We're probably more sensible betting on teams like that than Scottish football anyway.
Well, no, I'm opposing our broth from now until the end of the season, Robin, and then I'll send the bill.
We should probably say something about horse racing, seeing as that's where we're at.
Well, haven't you got a bee in your bonnet about the Melbourne Cup?
Not really, no. I just, you know, Godolphin won it last year with Cross Counter, didn't they? And I sort of like looking at Godolphin because, you know, like, they've sort of become underdogs, haven't they, really?
Absolutely.
It sounds bizarre to say it with all their resources, but, you know, I kind of think of them now as a plucky underdog in the major racing scene. But also, I've noticed that they still have a crack at all the big races, but they seem happier at, you know, Wolverhampton and Kempton and trying their hands in the sort of big handicaps. And the Melbourne Cup, you know, I can't be bothered with the race. It's just, to me, it's just a messy, big handicap. Anyway, yeah, Cross Counter's gone back. They've also got Ispolini. I always say Ipsolini, but that's wrong. But I thought it's about the same price as Cross Counter. It's only had one run this season in some German race. And I thought, like, looks like they've got the whole thing laid out for a crack at the Melbourne Cup.
Well, you'd hope that they had it as a plan, Robin, rather than just think we'll ship this horse out to Australia. Apparently there's some race called the Melbourne Cup that we might have a little bash at, maybe. I don't know.
All right, I'm just saying that, you know, they won it last year and this is the kind of race they sort of like to target now, isn't it? But anyway, what's bugging me is that Tom Siegel, price-wise, has tipped this in the Racing Post. Now, Tom is a great judge, but for some reason I always get annoyed when he tips something I fancy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like that either.
Why?
Well, I just like the fact that I found the horse. I don't like to be joined in my club of one by somebody else saying it's got a good chance.
Exactly. Well, you know what this sounds like? It just sounds like I've nicked his tip now, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. So someone will say to you, what have you backed? And you'll say, oh, I did that Ispolini. And they go, oh, yeah, the price-wise horse.
Yeah, he's probably got better arguments than me as well.
Well, especially as you think it's some sort of afterthought that they're going for the Melbourne Cup.
No, I think it's a plan.
All right,
you've got that all wrong. It's a plan, mate. It's a plan.
Well, that's a good starting point. So what I'm doing now is I'm on Bet365 at the moment, and I'm doubling Arbroath to get relegated, Ispolini to win the Melbourne Cup, Ajax to win the Champions League, and Holland to win the Euro 2020. How's that sound?
That's the sort of bet we like, you know. Yeah, I was going to sling in something about the Breeders' Cup because I'm going there next week, but I just got an email saying there's 188 horses with pre-entries. Bollocks, I'm not going to go through all that this afternoon.
Yeah, too much effort.
Yeah. I'd oppose Aidan O'Brien over there, though.
Well, he has a lot of high-profile losers, Soldier Fortune being one of them. I lost fortunes that time we were at Santa Anita on that horse.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes, all right. We knew our fate after it had done the first sort of like quarter in about sort of 22 seconds.
That was a shame, really. But as you said, nobody died.
No one died.
Yeah, so anyway, bollocks to the Breeders' Cup for the time being.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. When you come back from the Breeders' Cup having won a lot of dollars, we'll find a Christmas number one to punt up.
Christmas number one and jump racing, which is obviously back.
I prefer the all-weather, Robin.
So we can talk about the all-weather as well.
Yeah, we'll do the all-weather.
And more football, but find out about some football that people are interested in. Not St Johnstone.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do the championship. How about that?
Yeah, championship. Yeah, QPR, all that. Okay, so that's it for episode one of the Real Gambling Review. Don't forget you can visit our website, modernmediareview.com, and subscribe to our podcast under the Modern Media Review banner on Spotify, Apple, Google, you name it. Thanks for listening.
Cheers for listening.
And see you again. No, you won't see you. Speak to you again soon. Bye.
Cheers.